So as everybody knows, we didn't get into the elections too much. But, you know, all in all, I think the project had a good week last week in the primary. The thing I love about it is that during the election cycle, everybody online acts like really normal and cool and just says like cool stuff. And we pulled probably the coolest sort of reaction across the whole sort of the internet. There was a lot of them. And there was one of them who I forgot that the original poster. I was thinking of another one. But this is the one that has to win because it has coined a new catchphrase I think we'll all be using all autumn and holiday long. So if you could read that, I would appreciate it.
With only 22% of registered voters turning out, the Delaware General Assembly and the Wilmington City Council have been taken over by the radicals. With Matt Meyer being the spineless opportunist he is, it is doubtful he will wield his veto pen, and even if he does, a majority may override. John Carney is the only silver lining from last evening, and his power of the veto also applies. This is the fault of the corrupt establishment who have failed to take the WFP DSA scumbums seriously.
Do you mind if I did a reading?
I would. I would love you to.
So I had this tab open, and
oh,
I
nice.
Realized I should do something.
You want to intro it?
I'm just going to read. The ninth shocker was House Speaker Valerie Longhurst's loss in the primary to Christiana Care Director Kamala Smith. Longhurst was vulnerable due to an upset loss due to reports of low turnout in the Bexar Delaware City District. Smith ran on a hard left progressive platform and gained the endorsement of the Working Families Party. The party has enjoyed success in fielding candidates in New York City. Longhurst's defeat and the retirement of longtime Democratic legislators means we are likely to see a battle over leadership in the House, with progressives demanding a bigger voice. Longhurst, a moderate, was skilled in building consensus in what could have been an unruly caucus with varied views on the role of business and other forces in Delaware. Delaware lobbyists will not have to wrap their heads around a new and uncomfortable landscape in Dover.
From the shadow of Rockford Tower, behind enemy lines, in the belly of the Delaware Way Beast. This is Rob. This is your Highlands Bunker podcast. Welcome to it. We are happy to have, for our primary post-game and reaction, one of the catalysts behind the Working Families Party scumbums, Super Producer Carl. He was out, from what I understand now, he was entertaining offers from Tenant Media, I think, to do a podcast like for the Hocktua girl or something, but everything fell through. There was some kind of indictment about Russian involvement. I don't know, but he's back. He's back, everyone. As you heard, our online correspondent and friend and comrade Jordan Pusey is here. Hello.
Hello.
And I guess you're like a blogger emeritus.
Emeritus.
Yeah. You're a blogger emeritus.
I would say so. I tried to stay away, but I still comment. But yeah,
did you drop the 330?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know,
well, there you go,
Rob. He was a commenter a long time ago, and he was like really ahead of the game, saying "screw this anonymous stuff."
Yeah, I remember that, and Jason Scott. Everybody.
I use my real name,
Jason like, Scott.
What are they gonna do?
Well, here's the funny thing. I did that right after. Trump was elected the first time, because mm-hmm. I was just like shitposting under a pseudonym, and I was like, you know what, I'll stand up, I'll say my shit with my name, because
yep.
It's like it wasn't like I was like, you know, afraid of Trump. It was just like not a great move for the whole country, and so I was like, you know what, I'll put it under my name, and then I still got banned. Who cares? Because I got banned for good posts. It happens.
The thing is, I think I mentioned this to you after the primary, and I think that maybe what's got me invited is that Rob's going to have to figure out how to be like a Democratic insider, and I think he wants to be like the Robespierre of the revolution.
Oh, now you're talking my language.
He's going to become the Wilmington City Chair.
No, I'm going to fucking do a reign of terror on the fucking Wilmington fucking Democratic Party.
But
that's all satire. I'm just building off of your analogy. That's all.
But as you know, with the great success of the Working Families Party, and I was, you know, kind of a obviously a bystander, but seeing it and seeing the long game in action, like you said, the project, you have to say, you have to be, you know, feeling really good about, you know, where you are now.
Well, here's the way I'll put it. No, see, I look at it completely different. And this is something we were talking about before the microphones were on. I'm actually looking to replace all of that with something new. Like, I don't really, it can't operate that way. Like, what I envision for what the state can do for workers and for housing, for getting, like, low-income and working people, better housing, cheaper housing, medical, you know, taxing the people who have just pillaged this economy and these resources and these workers here. It's not going to look like that. It can't look like that. Like, there's no going to be some ringleader, you know, some fucking Bobby Byrd or Eisenberg, whatever their names are, Geisenberg. Like, it can't be like that. So, yeah, I don't think I have to.
The thing is, though, you can see, I think over the course of this primary, the people who won versus the people who didn't win, there's a sort of like, there's a positive movement. You can't. And I think that what the Democrats are finally learning how to do is have like a coalition politics, right? I mean, as long as, you know, the sort of party people that are still around want to get in the coalition.
Yeah, I guess. But the way I look at it is that, I mean, I broke it. We keep breaking it down to like the old and the new Delaware way. Mm-hmm. And that's a sort of a step in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really sort of it's retiring the old way. Like, there's no place in this coalition for Pete Schwarzkopf, Val Longhurst, Bethany. There's no place. You're done. There's no place for Kathy McGinnis. They're done. Their career's over. Go away.
Earl Jacques is still lost. Like, being bitter and weird at polling places.
Yeah, but again, really? but you look at these.
Just go.
You look at. There was a photo of leading up to the primary vote. Of like a Democratic office and people on the phone. Somebody sent it to the Slack, and it was like Lydia York, you know, peace be upon her, and like Bud Friel. And I'm like, wow, what a dynamic fucking call time group. Like, who cares? That's dead. That's over. Forget that. Those people. They have to just bend the knee. And we're off. The Meyer administration is going to use the legislature to start fucking proving to me that somebody cares about something. And I think that, you know, if people want to jump on board and call that a coalition, fine.
What?
I think you can build a coalition. And I think there's been progressives entering the party at a very steady rate, especially since 2016 when Bernie first came and like brought people in, like Dustin and Eric and Becca. You know, and like Delaware United, that's when they started. And that's how we got more progressive things in the platform. That's how we got more progressive people on the RD. So it's going to take a long time.
Yeah, but it's definitely the long game.
Electoral is different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just mean even...
Because you can just show up and be like, hey, we're going to improve your material needs. We're going to do things that make your lives better, like make sure you have well-paying jobs and you're not being poisoned by this chemical company.
Yeah, I guess I guess what I'm saying is that the Working Families Party, and to some extent the DSA, and to a lot of extent some of the people that you named, like the early Bernie people like Becca and Dustin, have sort of changed the game. You know, we're like I said, I want to look at it as developing our own base. Like, it was some coalition building, but I think it was a lot of just energizing people who weren't engaged before with something new that weren't engaged before. That's the thing, that didn't really follow the stuff before. I mean, Carl, how do you feel about it? I mean, I'm sure it's like some of both, but do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I mean, do you think that you got more productive results from finding people who weren't engaged and bringing them a message, bringing them a new kind of candidate, training the right candidates and people to work that just weren't engaged before? Or do you feel like you did more like coalition building with the powers that were there.
Like, so you're asking if I'm doing persuasion or turnout?
See, I don't know how to phrase it. Yeah, so that's right. I didn't know that was a common how you
Well, that's how you do it, talk about with voters. Because persuasion is, you already know someone's going to vote, but they might not vote for you. So how do we get them on our side and vote for us? And then turnout is like, we know these people, if they vote, they're going to vote for us, but they're probably not going to vote. So how do we get them to come out? And I think that translates also to what you're talking about with coalition building. Is like, are you bringing in new, like, quote-unquote insiders, like people who are going to spend hours of their lives doing this? Or are you going to talk to the existing, quote-unquote, insiders and try to bring them around to your point of view? I mean, I think as with actual elections, it's a bit of both, because there are some people who, most of them are not helping publicly. Maybe they've never been on the podcast, but there are people that have helped out with some of these races and have provided valuable insights, this and that, that, like, I would say are insiders and maybe not people we'd think would be on our side if you look at their public personas, but, like, have been helping out behind the scenes. And then you have people who kind of just came out of nowhere. Like Kamala Smith had never done anything political or never done anything like electoral political before 2022, I think. But then you had someone like Medina who'd been doing politics since like 2014. And obviously she was not a insider in the sense that she wasn't some like big powerful person, but she, you know, worked in legislative hall before. She'd been doing political activism since she was in college. Like, you know, there's different people come at it from different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe Medina has been, I look at a figure like Medina as a sort of a seminal figure in this, but I feel like she inspired a new way of doing it. I don't think she's I don't want to make it sound bad.
We talked about Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders had been in office for 30 plus years when he ran for office, but yeah. Was he an insider? That's the question.
Yeah. Was he looking to make deals and build coalitions with the people that were already there, or did they represent something new? You know, I think the way people fight Medina and the way Medina fights back represents actually something new.
Yeah, you're right. She gets the credit for creating that. What I think is going to be like a new insider, a new group of insiders.
Maybe
right?
That's it. Maybe I'm just trying to get away
so
from
like
it.
But insiders no moves from over. Like, there's no Pete anymore. There's Claire Snyder Hall, and there's no Val anymore. There's Cam. There's no Bethany Hall Long, which was surprising to me because I've known her for her politics for a long time because I was kind of in the 9th district that she was state rep in. And I can tell you a story that about when I first met her, but kind of reveals a lot. I don't know if I told you before, but I went to Howard Dean was running. I was trying to get in. That's what energized me in the same way. So if you got energized a long way, and I went to a fundraiser.
I've heard this.
Yeah. And I was like, maybe I don't want to repeat myself if I said it here, but the economics of it totally didn't work because I was looking around. There's drinks, there's food and stuff, but I was like, she's not making any money off this thing. And a guy walks in with this literal stack of checks and says, you know, where's the candidate? And I go, oh, over here. And he just walks up to her and hands her a stack of checks. It was like a bundling thing from like real estate or something. But that's how it went. She was real nice to me at the time. She thought I was going to run for office. I don't have the temperament for it. But that kind of thing, I think, is a version of the insider thing that's sort of like you said, it's on the way out. Pete's not there. Those guys aren't there. Something has to replace it. It can't be just like fight, you know, can't be so I don't think it can be as fighty as you want it to be, because politics is a thing where you have to be
And I won't even say it's I think I'm just saying that it represents actually something brand new. Like, for example, I don't think, and you know, not that the project has produced the greatest candidates who have become elected officials in the history of the world, but some of them are very good. Mm-hmm. And the ones that who are good actually don't operate that way. They literally don't do that. They don't take like big corporate money or PAC money.
And they're not keeping the resources internal to only the people they support. They spread it.
Yeah, so that's not being replaced
like Medina,
by something other than something brand new, yeah.
They're going to be supporting candidates that aren't WFP candidates because the whole point is to get the Democratic majority too, so we have better chances to get the bills passed that we want passed.
Yeah, let's just start talking about these races because you guys are talking about some. You guys are talking about what Carl talks about. Like we're gonna do whip counts and shit.
Like she seems we're gonna
do
cool.
whip counts. You guys want to do a whip count right now or?
I'll whip
come
you.
Come on, come on. Just take it easy. I said we were gonna keep it chill tonight. So again, let's just start out with the governors, because that was probably the most interesting one. You really were surprised, like, because I've mentioned before that I think we all kind of knew Bethany had been around a long time, but when the first sort of scandal broke about the campaign financing, and like a lot of her close friends jumped ship. Mm-hmm. This was like a year before.
It was October.
Yeah,
before 2023.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
And her campaign quit en masse.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
they
it looked
like multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
all she had was Jimmy and the idiots.
Yeah. So when that started to happen, that's not from a Delaware Way standpoint. That's not good because people usually like just stick with the people they went to high school with and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, has Pete ever turned his back on Kathy? No. He was at her first kickoff launch saying, these charges aren't that bad. I mean, they weren't
real crimes. I mean, I was there. They actually weren't that bad. He's actually right about that. But
how many people has he thrown in jail for less?
Correct.
Well, I was wrong about Omara coming in and taking enough away from Meyer. I thought
he didn't run a campaign.
Yeah, and ultimately he didn't run a campaign. I also thought, it being a primary, that it was going to be the primary voters are a little bit different than the general population. No. And so I know that she works, and I said this on the blog, is people who have worked with her really admire her work ethic. I saw her retail politics work ethic up close, and I thought, man, she can maybe stonewall this. And that seemed to be her approach, which obviously didn't work ultimately, but I thought she might just pull it off.
She's likable, but she never gets deep with people. Like, her eyes, like, glaze over. She'll ask you a question. If you're not, like, how are you doing? How's your family? Mm-hmm. If you're not, like, great, how are you? Her eyes start glazing over because she's ready. Like, I can't remember who called her. It was, like, Whistle Stop Bethany.
Okay.
Because she's just ready to go.
I feel like that's just a political tactic, right? Because they don't want to engage with
I don't know. Matt
time.
Gets
he's
like, just... Matt will like listen.
Well, Matt ran away. Famously, Jordan Howell's story about following around about trains last year. Trying to get his ice cream and all that. I mean, he knows.
But if Jordan was like, my mom's dying of cancer and like we can't afford a house and all that stuff, that would like find him resources.
But yeah, I mean, you see, I think that actually there's been a little bit of a turn in, like, the primary voter, like the more engaged person that pays attention. See, the more engaged person that pays attention, it's harder to stonewall them.
Yeah.
Because they're reading the newspaper. They're like, oh, Chris Parrish, I just see what he wrote. Or, like, they're already kind of wound up about the Kathy McGinnis thing and everybody who went into, like, special session to censure her and all of this stuff. And public trust is all of this. That's still, like, in the air.
Yeah, even when she lost, he was like, Kathy McGinnis, convicted auditor, like, blah, 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 gets blown out.
Yeah, like, so I think, I do think that, like, the engaged person or the person who somebody like WFP is going to convince to come out for this program, I think they're more apt to be like, yeah, we're not going to fall for that nonsense.
Yeah.
To sell that to the rubes.
Well, there's a lot of rubes out there. But
there are. Yeah, but are they the engaged primary?
That's true.
Because there were people like me and Kevin. We talked to a guy on, it was early on Tuesday morning, who was like, he had a list and he had like every candidate and he had like a bunch crossed out. And he's like, all right, who are you and who are you? And I was like, well, I'm not the candidate, but Kevin was the candidate. Mm-hmm. He's like, all right, you guys are good. And then he was like, I can't vote for no Matt Meyer. He's like, he's like Trump. I was like, oh, that's not true. Mm-hmm. He was like, but that Bethany's a crook. And I was like, that is true.
How did you explain the...
I wasn't arguing.
No, but the thing is about campaign finance, explaining that controversy to some low-information voter, what was your approach to that? I'm just kind of curious.
Well, I didn't really have to do it.
Yeah, all right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Right, right.
But,
yeah.
I mean, if someone's using their personal credit cards to get benefits from a campaign, you can't do that.
Right.
Like, you have to just, it's easy. Campaign finance is easy. A lot of us has run campaigns. You just put in the charge from that account.
Yeah. Well, we
if
talked
you don't
about
have
it.
The money in that account, guess what? You don't do it.
Yeah, I mean,
or you loan yourself the money and just keep it on a thing, like Nurse Susan.
Well, we did the thing where, yeah, I mean, well, we talked about it when Eric Razor-Sham was in here with Bill, because Bill's done it, Nurse Susan's done it. It's actually not that complicated if you just straightforward do it. But when you start using it as like a way to churn, it's like a way to not launder money, but just churn like cash flow. Like you're using it and you're like, you know what, I'll charge it up $5,000. We'll get the Chase Sapphire points and I'll just pay it back.
Yeah.
And you know what? I have to say, they probably didn't know that they didn't pay that back. They probably used it for $100,000 or who knows how much over the years.
Yeah, yeah.
And who knows how they're, you know, they're like, you know, remember she was like, oh, we need a receipt for this or something. It's just like trying to go back and figure out. Like, I think they were just incredibly sloppy and lazy. Because they're in an entrenched sort of like little small town tyrant.
Yeah.
And you know, and even to the end, when they realize that, you know, the gig was up, she exchanges emails with Albenz at the Board of Elections being like, I'm probably gonna have to release it on FOIA, but I got you, I'm not gonna say anything about it. She's like, hey, thanks a lot, with the big, you know, thumbs up. That and it's just like really you know, that's weird stuff, man.
Yeah.
And then she wasn't doing FOIA, and then you find out, oh, she's double-dipping as well. Like, it's just a casual corruption. Like, oh, no one's going to check in on this. Why would they?
And if, you know, she didn't have so much, she probably could have gotten away with it. Or she didn't have Matt running against her. Because it's, like, I always kind of feel bad for those, like, small company bookkeepers who, like, the headline says they sold $200,000, but they never got a $200,000 windfall. Like you said, they just probably got $20 here and there for some gas or whatever. But anyway, it was she was still fighty afterwards. Her statement, I thought, was still kind of like, you know.
Oh, but her enemy, her opponents. It's like the media is who's reporting this.
Yeah.
Those aren't your enemies. They're doing their job. And even now, it's like, oh, the PACs are bad. I'm like, your PACs were calling someone who's not sexually harassed or abused anybody a sexual predator, comparing him to Trump. Like, do you have a mirror? Can you go, like, look in it real quick?
Look, I love that you never break you as a, and I think I was talking to Bill about this, and we were trying to think who the biggest Matt Myers stan is, and you're the OG, I think.
No, there's people more than me.
No, you're just maybe.
I can't think of any.
I can't.
Tammy.
I don't even know who fucking Tammy is.
You don't know Tammy Morris?
Yeah, no, you're the most level-headed angel. One. You're the most normal about it.
Because I had to live with fucking Tom Gordon's
People who either really hate or really love Matt Meyer are all deranged, except you sort of fall in the middle. Which
because, like, okay, here's the thing. I started this journey in 2008. So I had Chris Coons. Then I had Paul Clark. Then I had Tom Gordon round two. And then we had Matt. And it
Clark,
was like,
Clark.
Holy
that's like,
shit.
That's like when a governor only serves like for like a year before like a special election.
Someone who's not completely fucking insane and
that's
terrible.
That's
going to
be Governor Bethany Hallong for a few weeks.
Is that what happens when...
Hide your kids, because the mayor gets sworn in before the governor.
That's fucking awesome.
Kathy.
Bro. That's fucking awesome. I think we should point out, speaking of somebody who really got a raw deal and some nasty shit, is Eric Morrison. And who once again proved that?
Yeah, fuck Delaware.
Get that shit out. It's like Dikembe Mutombo, just like get that shit out of here.
Yeah.
That's not gonna fly. So again,
he's gonna have an opponent on the Republican side, though.
Yeah, Christina Griffing or something. Someone called it Krista Griffiths Wario, which is like really funny.
No. That's funny
because it's like the name's the same, except it's like this like.
Now what I mean, I feel like he has a relationship in a. Constituency there that's pretty locked up.
Yeah, sounds
like
it.
He's done consistently progressive things for people and like made their lives better.
Yeah, and anyway, I'm just glad that the worst of the worst charter school demons and ghouls got one stuck to him.
Yeah,
because,
fuck you, Brittany.
Yeah, look, Brittany, go fuck yourself. Sorry.
Yeah, stop being homophobic.
Sorry, you know,
and get better foundation matching. Yeah.
So let's throw a little ire to maybe the biggest bully of them all, Val Longhurst. I have to say that I saw Steve's post about it.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Like, on one hand, I think,
you'll
like,
learn from
I'm thinking, like, it's that's a little petty considering, because then I remember the year as I was reading it, and I'm like, wow, that's a really long time ago. And then when I got to the end of it, I'm like, you know what, Steve? Kick her ass while she's down. I fucking loved it. I was like, you know what? Just get her ass. Who cares?
I love Steve. He's a great guy, great character. But holy shit, he could carry a grudge.
Yeah, because it was like, wasn't it? That's like 16 years, something like that, 18 years ago.
It's 4 days before the election, right? She had the audacity to post. We are only 4 days away from our significant night of success. Like, you don't do that. You don't claim it before you know. That's just like cursing yourself.
What is it about that position that she held as the speakership that makes people sort of like overconfident or something? Is that what happened to Blevins? She was like in the same spot, but that was a general election, not a.
Yeah, but she didn't show up for until the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for her staffers because they were like, you know, trying to like get it done.
Yeah, we're talking about Morrison doing good things for his constituents and just
running
like doing good by doing good, you know, doing well. And there's that class of, you know, Longhurst and Nicole Poor and others that seem pretty distant from that. You know, it's about their. And Steve goes into this a lot on the blog, but them sort of organizing their own sort of like little kingdoms within the state.
Yeah, little fiefdoms. You know. And waiters don't care about that shit. They don't care what your position is in Dover. That means literally nothing to them.
Well, here's the
issue. Oh,
you're
the Speaker of the House? Okay, do you show up to my civic association meeting?
That's good.
I think that one of Val's issues is that all the stuff that she did do is stuff that you would expect literally any Democrat
to
do.
Yeah, something special.
But there's a lot of stuff that she also killed or didn't do that you'd also generally expect literally any Democrat to do. And from what I heard, one of the strongest messages was there was an old quote, and I don't think it was as relevant to recent legislation in terms of the specifics, but it really does sum up her way of doing things. Which was there was some gun bill probably like 8-9 years ago.
Oh, 2012.
Yeah, maybe more. So yeah, more like 10-12 years ago. But, you know, she was one of the people that was involved in running this thing. And it was some sort of gun control bill, but it got watered down a bunch in the process because, as basically always tended to happen and really still does happen in a lot, even gun bills. And there was some quote that she gave that was like, oh, yeah, we worked with the NRA to like figure out some solutions that we could both agree on.
Yeah.
And so that was like a quote that got dug up and put out there. And I think that really sums it up, which is, oh, yeah, we worked with these people who suck. Mm-hmm. And we found some common solutions that everybody could be happy with.
And it's the worst. You know?
But it's the way they're able to wield power in a small group. That's what I found so nefarious about the report, the actual auditor report. This is why I mentioned Lydia earlier. So you get teased on one hand, and then you get kudos on the other hand. Which we're trying to be even, Stephen here. The thing that's so nefarious about like the double dipping, I think, is that it's contextual, right? Like nobody really cares that like Ray Moore was a teacher, like she's a teacher, legislature. Like that's good actually, or like. Or somebody who works at UD, because it's UD is more influential than the government, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But the issue that I have is that people who can wield their power in small little Delaware, like state-run stuff, like Dell Tech or Powell or like, and so when they get to their organization, that organization also gets, not only are they taking state money for two jobs, that organization is sort of needs the state. It's not as big as like the University of Delaware. It's something that needs that money. So they actually have a little bit over on everybody there.
Yeah.
And they can wield power in their organization as a legislator or as somebody in leadership.
Absolutely.
That's the real nasty stuff that I, you know, I think people sort of worry about the money people make all the time or, you know, what the taxpayers are on the hook for. Like most of that stuff I don't really care about.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing we can really do about it. Because it's a part-time legislature, and that's it. But I think in context, there are particular things that people should look at and be like, yeah, that's shady. You know, that's dodgy stuff when you can wield power. It's just another way. It's just another way they wield power.
I mean, the legislative pay is meager. I forget what it is, but it's not.
It's 50 grand or something like that. 40 grand.
45,000.
45 grand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not. You can't live off that.
Yeah. So the thing about like a Val Longhurst losing, I think, is that it definitely shows that people aren't interested in the Delaware way as it existed. I think, or the people in that district anyway. And so, whereas, you know, you could say the party is, you know, corrupt, the party's got a bunch of problems, and it does. Like, if Eric and Jesse Chatterton stayed, we'd be in a lot better position as a party, I think. But luckily, we had the Working Family Parties come along to sort of be the discipline. But the my point was, I kind of lost, was you can't say, I mean, to bring it back, these individual races prove that, you know, the needle's moving in the right direction.
Oh, there's no question about that. Yeah. And that's my thing, is I hope that I'm just looking almost from a, you know, obviously there's going to be negotiations and things are going to happen, but from a purely strategic standpoint and like a high-level standpoint, I think everyone, no matter what you sort of do in the project, now's the time to put your foot on people's throat. You know, it's like, now's the time to basically exert the pressure. You know, we've done this now 3 different cycles. Before you came, I was saying the meme of the Grim Reaper going door to door. I feel like we can do one of those for you. Pow, 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 pow. So, you know, people are already asking who's going to be next, but we'll talk about that in due course.
I thought maybe that's why I was thinking that the Delaware way was going to have some more juice this time, is because, like, how could they not prepare, you know, more of a pushback after seeing everything that had changed over the years?
That's their pushback, though. I mean, they did that. They came at Meyer and called him a predator. They had, you know, they had one of the most vile racists in the state, Jim Marvallis, say, you know, just despicable stuff. You had Val Longhurst running around threatening people. You're dead to me. I don't know why you're doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get there, I'm going to marginalize your ass, calling people up. You know, doing her shit.
I guess by pushback, so like, I meant more like going out and getting people, knocking on doors.
They don't have a message, bro. What's their message?
She gets
what's
it their and ma- she what's gets their results.
That's
what's
a
their
good message? Point.
Don't, what are they going to say when they knock? What's Kathy McGinnis going to say from a policy standpoint that's going to get somebody encouraged to come out? What does she fucking say at the doors, bro?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, a long time ago, when Bethany was became lieutenant governor, I was like, making a parody election lawn sign for it. And the tagline was like, because I want to be governor.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. There's no there.
Yeah, they can't. I don't think the thing that you're talking about.
They don't think going out and
doing
power.
Like going out and doing like what Working Families Party does and saying like, these are concrete agenda items that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, here's how they're connected to sort of some piece of legislation that's already maybe even out there.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, we have somebody from your community who we can introduce you to, who's a real person, not like somebody whose eyes glaze over when you talk to them, or like literally has nothing to say other than it's an office I want to run for because I'm in the club that does this. They don't have anything. It's just vapid nonsense. And, you know, Carl Stomberg's material positions and foundation and the things everybody signed up for, that's real. You can talk about that when you fucking talk to somebody.
And therefore, it kind of makes sense to me when I talk about a coalition that eventually a Carl Stomberg type is going to be the chair of the Democratic Party.
No. Jesus fucking Christ. That's the last thing we want. No, the Democratic Party must crumble and a new thing rise up in its place. This is what I'm trying to say. I don't know why that's so difficult for people to understand. We are the Democratic Party looked at us with disdain as their enemy and their political adversary, and they treated us as such for the last 6 years or 8 years. Now's the time to send the cavalry and chase their defeat and try to kill or capture as many as you fucking can. Now's the time that the institutions that we want to see that are going to execute on the things that we've talked about take over and build something new. The Democratic Party is not where it's at. It's done. They lost. Fuck off. We're in charge now.
I don't know, man. It's a good reminder of what I was going to say about Ramon, because I was like looking on after the primary, looking on Fox News. I googled like Fox News and Sarah McBride to see if they had started their shit campaign.
Oh God!
Of, like,
why would you torture yourself?
Every once in a while, I gotta torture myself. I don't know why. So I was looking at the Fox News to see like what the sort of like Republican, propaganda system was saying, if anything about her yet. And it just had like a news blurb, but didn't have like opinion pieces yet. But above it was a video of Ramon talking for like 15 minutes directly to people who would click on, you know, Fox News.
Okay.
And he said something interesting, and that's a sentence I never thought I would say. Mike Ramon said something interesting, but he kind of led off by saying, Republicans are the third party in Delaware now. Like we have fewer, you know, registered Republicans than independents, and independents fewer than Democrats. And then he was, you know, sort of made his pitch, which is, you know, there needs to be another party. And it just...
There needs to be a third way.
I was taking...
Dr. Senator Michael Katz. You know?
Yeah.
Tripartisanship, baby.
He's right. I think he's right.
My point is, if you're saying the Democratic Party isn't the way forward, it's not that. Man, there's nothing more flat on its back than the Delaware Republican Party.
Yeah. No, that's true. I think,
you know.
Well, that's correct. Both of those things are true. Like because the Democrats were the only game in town as a label, mm-hmm. as a thing, then, you know, most people are going to gravitate towards that based on our demographics or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
or if
that.
You want to have a vote on, you know, who's going to be.
Yeah, and so yeah, people who want to be right.
Even
and this is why, again, why did I vote in a Democratic primary? I mean, I did and I didn't. Like, it was funny. I said I left so much stuff blank on my primary ballot that when you push the button, there's like a pop-up window comes up and says, are you sure you want to leave this many blank? And I was like, I'm really sure. You have to hit confirm 18 times. I am a Democrat. I mean, everybody, basically, it's just that argument, like, everybody's a Democrat, unless you're a fringe sort of Looney Tune. Like, this is the Ramon argument. I think he is right about that. However, I'm talking about something different. I'm talking about shedding that label, shedding those institutions, shedding the idea that we're going to cooperate with big finance and with, you know, the cops and with real estate developers, and we're going to keep money and, you know, in a small number of hands, and we're going to create a state for the most wealthy people in the world, really. I think we need to get away from that. Now, if the Democratic Party in total wants to get away from that and wants to go to our stuff, that's fine. I don't see that happening. So, you know, I think we should start stealing ourselves for that kind of stuff now. And I think, again, as I said before, I think some people, especially like Working Families Party or DSA, affiliated candidates are going to actually stop doing that. You know, don't take, you know, money from particular groups and PACs and things. They're already doing it. So there's already a differentiation between, like you said, everybody's a Democrat, but there is a differentiation. I think we should heighten the contradiction. Is that, am I out of line for saying that?
No,
everybody's like fucking shocked that I don't think we should align necessarily in our project with these types of people who have these types of politics.
Let me jump in here, because I think we might be getting a little bit of an overreaction to a race where we won with about 1,400 votes against Val Longhurst.
Okay.
Because that's 1,400 votes in a state of a million people. Matt Meyer won by raising millions of dollars from all these people that you're talking about, all the developers, all the big evil corporate people. Mm-hmm. And like, he ran on a progressive message, and you know, you can try to square that circle, and hopefully he will. But like, that's why he won, because he had millions of dollars that he could spend to get his name recognition up, and because Bethany Hall Long doused herself in gasoline and lit herself on fire.
That helped.
And, like, I think he had a good message and a message that resonated with people. But, you know, he didn't win by, you know.
Well, he's getting a little of the shine because...
Yeah, he had a history of being a teacher for, like, a year and a half.
No. But as county executive,
that's not what he ran on, though.
He did good things.
That's not what he ran on, though.
But he didn't, actually. He ran on...
He talked about the Hope Center. He talked about the things
that he was able to do. The TV ads were like, oh, Matt Meyer, he was my teacher.
Yeah, he did that.
That worked for him.
Did he have a picture of him?
Stupid stuff too. That's what you do when you run for governor. You do stupid stuff.
Right.
Like that's part of the thing.
And again,
he's getting
a little extra sort of accolade, I guess, from some quarters.
I mean, but he did
because,
the best thing county has ever
because
done.
He was running
oh, yeah.
against.
That's true.
Because he defeated an old Delaware Way
yes.
candidate.
Yeah.
It was aligned with other people that we wanted to defeat.
And Sarah McBride has millions of dollars as well. So what I'm saying is
Sarah's bad on everything, though. Like, so many people are bad on the Israel
look,
issue.
You have to let him say what he's
hard,
saying.
Hard, yeah.
So what I'm saying is that we won a race that had less than 3,000 people voted in it. And then we won some other races, too, where you had more people vote. But, you know, the governor race went how it did. And certainly not the worst outcome. County Council, we got Monique Johns on there. Like,
hell yeah,
cool.
Brother.
John Carney's the mayor, or is going to be the mayor, unless Mr. Celery beats him, which, you know.
Folks, look, it's M-I-S-T-E-R, first name, last name, Celery. C-E-L-E-R-Y.
You got to figure out how to do that.
Are you doing like a write-in campaign for
Mr. Celery? Yeah.
Okay.
And we believe M-R... period is also fine. We don't know. We do know that if you are Spanish speaking, you can put in Señor Apio as well. So, but yes, please.
Did you see the one thing I said?
Hold on, he has to
Murder
finish.
Fox. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's just all to say that bring back fusion voting. They got rid of it in 2010. It allowed Working Families Party to endorse other candidates and. Additionally run on the ballot, you avoid that classic third-party problem where you split the vote on one side and hand it off to the other side. Earl Jakes got rid of it because it was the Democratic Party didn't like it. So bring it back.
The Democratic Party didn't like it?
Yeah. So all I'm saying is bring back fusion voting.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I just want to say something quickly. It's funny that in the post that you read to begin with, John Carney was called the silver lining
yes.
in this, because there is a silver lining in this, and we've all sort of agreed on the side, but the silver lining is that he has to stick around for 4 years and walk around this city, and we're gonna drag his ass in public wherever we see him. My brothers and sisters in the Palestinian fight are gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. Everybody's gonna do it. Your life is gonna be miserable. You're gonna walk with a worse limp than you walk now.
Well, what
you look like you're fucking 80 years old. How about we come to this idea? Maybe we'll meet somewhere in the middle. Certain factions of, like, the old Delaware Way, new Delaware Way dichotomy. We'll use that.
We're just Team George.
Certain.
That's where we meet, in the
certain,
middle.
Certain factions of the Democratic coalition in Delaware, such as it is, need to be jettisoned. And maybe, like, people like Meyer and people who just happen to get... you know, Buccini pollen money or whatever, or proud to be a diplomat in Iraq. Maybe they're still with us because they beat the vile racists and the weirdos. Fine. But there are pockets of Democrats that have actively worked against us, have actively bullied and stalled reforms and legislation that people have wanted to do. Ostracize heroes like John Kowalko. They need to go. Like, we need to make a line of demarcation and say, if we can't, your career is over. You can do whatever you want, but you're out of the decision making process. The process, such as it is, you're not in it.
But see, you advocate against processes, but there's a way to use the processes against them.
Exactly.
Don't let them participate. Organizing.
Yeah, don't let them participate. Do you think that
do you think the working
Pete Schwarzkopf and Kathy McGinnis and Bethany Hall Long, do you think that the all of their friends and all the little mechanisms and
you have elections in those districts because then it goes to the voters.
Yeah, and
it comes to RD.
And so what you've done is you've rendered them irrelevant. So treat them that way. Treat it like you won, they lost, you're doing what you want, we have enough people to do it, get on board or get the fuck out of the way. Because we've proven time and again that we're going to run you down. If it takes, like you said, sometimes it takes 2 years, sometimes it takes four, but we will run your ass down.
Sometimes
so get on fucking board. And people aren't being, they're not being challenged. They're not saying, like, they're coddled. It's a big tent. It's not a big tent. It's a small tent. Lose some weight. Get in the fucking tent. Well, I think we reflected on the election long enough. I'm going to bring up one last fun thing. So this is a good time to mention. Not only is tomorrow, if you're listening to this today, it comes out. Tomorrow, we're having the Fall Classic, the big baseball barbecue, open bar, band, and everything. At the Yorkland Center for Creative Arts. There'll be a link under this. You can just turn up. We'll have a nice little QR code. You can scan it. You can send your donation that way. Doesn't matter. Come join us for 19th Century Baseball and a barbecue at the Yorkland Center for Creative Arts at noon on Saturday, the 21st. Is there anything else that we should discuss? Do you think there's another interesting case? Because you didn't come with any national stuff that was bugging you. So that's good.
I mean, Monique was funny. George was funny. Bob Williams eating shit was funny.
Yeah, like, again, he's another, like, just perennial, like...
No, not even, guy, though. Like, right? I think he served, like, two terms in city council, moved to Newark.
Oh, right, the Wilmington City Council guy.
Yeah.
That Bob Williams. Oh, I thought it was somebody different. I didn't know it was the same guy. Bob Williams is just, it just sounds,
yeah,
could be anybody.
William Williams, what's the fucking difference? No, but the fact Jimmy ate shit on so many races and the cops ate shit on races, that was really funny to me.
Yeah, and the other thing, I guess.
But there's only really two cops, and then our pal Val, because she was like our little police athletic league person. And then you had Mike Brown, who did not mention he was a cop. I had to tell a lot of people in the 16th district that he was a fucking cop, and you should definitely not fucking vote for him if police accountability is something you care about.
Who ran against him?
George Smiley was the incumbent there. So he's vulnerable. Not really. He was vulnerable against a black person.
I think it's been established that we got our eye on you. If you think you're next, you're probably next. So you could think, here's
Nicole
the problem.
Porter.
As we said before,
where is she?
It would be one thing if you could get your house in order.
She's missing.
And that would be one thing. But I don't think you can. I think it's curtains. I mean, what I would do is just prepare for the worst. You know, you can retire. You know, your friends have already gotten domed. They're done. They're history. They're irrelevant. And so you can fade gently into that good night and get out because we're coming.
Manifest it.
What I wanted to do to mention is actually the real silver lining, not the joke one, in Wilmington is the city council.
Our bestie Colby.
Yeah, Colby.
Colby Cheese Owens.
Colby J.O. Kobe Owens
permanently canceled.
Kobe
uncanceled by the voters.
Won his race, and our friend Christian Willauer, a great housing activist, won her race.
And Shanae.
And Shanae, of course. And so, you know, the demoted man who is going to serve Przycki's third term is still going to have enough council people because we still got to do the things you guys say we have to do. They're gonna have to carry water for the corporations and for the developers and for the cops. But there's gonna be more voices. There's not gonna just be Shanae. There's gonna be people.
Will Trippy have to return the opioid funds?
That's a great question. I saw Trippy the other day. I don't say anything to
him. I don't dislike him.
I like him, but fine.
I'm like, why do you need $500,000, sir?
Look. Look, everybody's...
Unless it's like just to bury people. Like, that's, I could understand that.
See, that could be... That could be it. Because I do know they do a lot of...
Yeah, it said youth outreach.
Reduced.
It didn't say burials. Burial cost. Lot plants or something.
You don't think you're too far in the weeds? Let me ask you this. You're talking about being in the weeds. This is how we're going
to end it. Because I'm a funeral home...
No.
Person?
No. This is what we're going to say. This is how we're going to end it. We're going to do a little examination of your psyche.
Oh, fuck.
You mentioned getting off the rails, but you love... You have every, like, detail and every... Like the Steve Tanzer thing. Like, every grudge. Every, like, the person who did it and the person who knew about it before... You know it all. You have it all in your mind.
I'm a good politics knower. Like, you're knowing.
That's wild to me. You don't think that's like maybe it's kind of sick?
I think it's because I have ADHD.
You think?
Yeah.
You're saying it could be anything, but you're just this is like your. It's not just recall.
Recall things that are like kind of funny because it's like
recall is like anybody
a funeral home taking all this money for opioid
I'm not just talking about that though.
Like,
I'm not just talking about that.
We're trying to keep people alive.
I'm talking about the last hour and 45 minutes. You know, you're on it. You know, like you could talk about Fort DuPont or the stuff Meyer did or the person who tried the people in the RD who fucked that person over and did that. You know,
I don't
all
know.
That
maybe
shit.
Like Celia Cohen, like. Transferred her.
But here's the thing.
Her brain mattered to me.
Celia didn't
like,
feel
there's
it,
like
though.
A web that we.
Celia
an invisible string.
I mean, if Celia held grudges, we would know, right? Because she would write it down. And I don't know. She was just a scribe for like the court. She was like the court stenographer.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she did that straight.
I just have a good memory, Rob.
No, I'm not talking about your memory. I'm talking about your feeling. You still have passion about, all the little fights. I love it because you have the fight that we were looking for before.
Oh,
even
yes,
though you're the worst,
I never forget.
But the only other problem is you're also the most stubborn. Yes. So you have the enthusiasm and skills that we need, other than the fact that you're extremely stubborn. Other than that, I think you're good. You have to work on that. Listen. This has been our struggle session.
Well, Robert, this is why I am a bronze medalist in the U.S. youth soccer system, and you're not.
Bronze, though.
Yeah, bronze. Right? And we're from Delaware. I mean, how much talent do you think we have here? But also, state champion. Multiple state champions.
So let me get one thing going before we go, because we do have to...
it's like our fifth one thing.
Yeah.
No. Well, this is serious. I'm glad you
Forza
said that.
Forza Juventus.
Because we joked around. We talked about a bunch of stuff, and I got I tried to give everybody the volatility that you know, I tried to give them the adversarial shit that they like. But the one thing that isn't a joke and is serious is that Carl and his team did something miraculous again. All the volunteers did something miraculous again, and have put us, you know, just using regular organizing and political skills in people's neighborhoods, have put us in a position to talk about all of this. So, like, shout out to Carl, Christina, who also
Kirsten,
Hassani, Drew.
Sasha, Joe Mill,
Cheyenne.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody because that's the new, that's the way. That's the new way.
Collaboration, babies.
That's it. And so, yeah, man, it's like, we wouldn't be able to fucking talk like this if it wasn't for all that.
We'd be really sad. We wouldn't even have this episode.
Right, correct. That might have been the best thing.
The Padre always provides.
That's right. Thank you, Carl. Jason, thank you. And
pleasure.
I'm still
Jordan, fuck you.
I'm still trying to work it out in my mind. But until next time, everybody, left is best.